What's going on, everybody? I promised you a great story today, and I got a good one. Never been told before. The movie was off. Trial was off on this. A couple people were tried on this. A couple people were blamed for it. I just happened to be around the guys that were involved in it. Got a couple great threats this morning, which I loved. Dead or in jail by the end of the weekend. So if you don't hear from me, look for the body. I'll be with Hoffa or back in federal prison because, you know, people can mention my name, but I can't mention theirs back. And I love all these guys that are out there that lets a woman put a battery in their back. This is a scorned, bitter woman who probably ain't seen in 4 years that is mad and upset because they think YouTube and Instagram is being famous. And some people are narcissists. They don't want to see other people be famous, which this to me, this isn't famous. I'm going to be honest with you guys. If I don't get sent the video by somebody reputable and asks me to watch it, I don't watch them. The people that I do support, I go on, like the video so they get the like and they get the view. Other than that, I don't do it. I don't watch it. And mostly it's Belle because that's on the platform. She's been there. She stood by me. She's been in meetings. She knows the real Hootie. Yous know the real Hootie. Yous want to believe what other people say. That's a different Hootie. I don't mind. I don't care. People don't realize I still get up and go to work every day. They talk about charities. I helped a woman with a dog on a GoFundMe. I wind up finding a place that she actually volunteers at now. And that was it. They can follow trails and all these other things that I'm hearing about. Follow the money. Nothing's in my name. I promise you, I have a baby mama, because I used to call her an ex. She's not even an ex. That goes into court for everything, that calls the cops for everything. Yous are all taking notes from her and listening to this woman. I got 5 arrests in 1 year just from her. Never laid a hand on her. She's got reports and tape recordings, and she gets phones and apps that duplicates people's numbers. Yeah, it's the madness. I'm waiting for them to come kick the door in tonight because they'll lock me up for something because she bats her eyes at the sergeant at the desk and the cuffs come out. That's just the way it works. I don't know. It's the men don't stand a chance, but it doesn't bother me. I'm used to it. So today, and I'm gonna also let you in on something else I forgot to tell you. Now, when a guy gets straightened out, you say he gets his button, right? We used to make fun of guys, say they got their zipper because they were zipper heads. Some of these guys got straightened out. We used to call it that thing. Wise guys, captains, I've heard a boss say it. That thing, you got that thing. Because in my neighborhood, you know, if you're going to talk to somebody and you're like, you know, if it goes wrong, you could get punched in the face. I try to explain this to people in real life. Like, these guys that talk shit on the internet, half of them haven't been in a fist fight in their life. Or maybe they rolled around on the floor when they were a kid. But it happens. It's a real thing. When someone don't like you, they're going to punch you in the face. Like dweebs, a dweeb is going to get punched in the face. No one's going to help. No one can help him. That's it. You know what I mean? Bottom line, I see him punching you in the face. Like, that's it. It's the way it's going to be. Sorry for you. Your big mouth got you. And you think the ghosts and those guys are going to help you. Oh, man. It's a shame. You know, you say the life is dead. Okay, the life is dead. But the people aren't. And when people come to me and they say, you ain't nobody, that life's over. Okay, I'm nobody, and the life's over. The fuck does that got to do with me coming to see you? I didn't say I was sending a crew, an associate, a captain. I said, when I see you, we can handle whatever business we need to handle. And your comeback is, the life is over? Okay, the life is dead? Okay, the life is dead, but the people aren't. You got to watch who you talk about because the people aren't. And believe me, there's some tough guys out there. You don't hear me on here talking about guys, certain guys, because there's no reason to. I know guys that are legitimate tough guys. It's not that I'm scared. I give them the respect because the life may be dead, but they aren't. So remember that. Okay? Now, that thing The saying was, at the time, my mentor, gangster killing motherfucker, Ronnie One on Truccio, his captain was Skinny Dom. Skinny Dom's mentors were Tony Lee, Fat Andy Ruggiano. No one would ever say Fat Andy Ruggiano to his face. I used to call him Andy. I only met him when he came home from prison 1 year in 96. That was it. The scumbag that my ex cheated on was his driver because he was a legitimate guy. And, well, he wasn't a legitimate guy. He knew more dirt than most guys. And don't ask me how he skated past everything. But the FBI happened to like him. The government, actually, U.S. attorney, so they let him go on a few things. But, so, I got to meet him. He was a legend in that life. He was a gentleman in this life that I live now. He was a regular guy. Like, I can't say he was ever a regular guy. He was a gangster's gangster, you know? And I met him, and he was a great guy. But, don't. Skinny Dom, those were his mentors. Now, the captain who I was friends with, his captain was Skinny Dom. He was just a regular made guy. His son's about to go in to become a made guy, who's my boy, and my other boy is going to go after him, and so on and so forth in the crew. So we're all sitting around. He's about to go in. Actually, he went to trial on the Bonnie and Clyde case. I think he beat it, because I don't know. It was told correctly. It was told correctly. I've read the court minutes on that case, but he beat it. And he said, you go to jail, you're dead. You walk in that door, you're dead. The outside doesn't exist. The inside does. You're dead to everybody. Everybody wants to fuck your wife. Everybody wants to fuck your girlfriend. Everybody wants to steal your money. Everybody forgets about you. No matter what anybody says, you're dead. And in a certain way, you listen about, you know, yeah, 15... I think after five, people start forgetting about you. Maybe 5 minutes, they forget about me. That was the love I got. And I had a lot of friends. A lot of friends. I did. Everybody got along with me. I don't care what anybody says. I did great business. I was a good friend to people. I never fucked nobody over. I never talked behind people's backs. I got nothing to say about my enemies. Why would I talk about the people that I know and stay with? Right? It makes no sense, right? I take sides. On what sides? No. I take and I choose who is going to be my friend and my acquaintance, and then whoever's on the other side, my enemy of my enemy is what, right? How the old, right? Since you, right? The Art of War, you can read them all, the 36, all the crazy books that you read when you first go to do your first bid that they hand you, like pamphlets when you get into the prison system. He used to say, but that thing, you hang it up at the door. I was a teenager at the time, because I don't think Fat Andy was home yet. So I was young, and my mentor wasn't a captain yet. So, and I always tell you, he was like Sonny from Bronx Tale. When he got made, it was like the whole neighborhood got made. Like, that was our guy. He ran the neighborhood. Everybody thought that he was a gangster's gangster, and he wasn't even made yet. You know, he gets made in 89. I thought he was a made guy already. Before that, Vinny Asara, who was around Fat Andy's age, a year or two difference. No, that was a banana neighborhood before John Gotti Sr. The 101st Avenue City Line was a banana. That was Vinny's. Vinny Asara ran the show. You didn't fuck. Vinny's like third generation tough guy. And he could have been the boss of the banana family. We'll get into that conversation one day. It's not my story to tell. I'll let somebody else tell that story when they're able to tell it. But he could have been the boss of the banana family. And he was a feared guy. He was a feared guy. And probably one of the only guys Jimmy Burke respected. I can tell you that. Because when they clipped my cousin, I think he had something to do with that. I know the story. And that's a story I'm going to put out there. But again, the Vinny Asara story is somebody else's to tell. But I knew Vinny, I remember since I'm five. Football sheets in his club. You know, going back that far on City Line. And that was Bonanno area. Until Ronnie Wanam came along. Vinny moved his club somewhere else. And we all thought Ronnie was made already. He would... extortion, was a killer. He already killed one guy. And that was, you know, self-defense after they stabbed him 173 times. He crawled out of a bar and killed one guy. I'll tell that story, you know, more in depth. So we're all there, paying our respects to Skinny Dom. He's going to jail. Now, Skinny Dom, he doesn't even like to be talked about. I was even a little, you know, sketchy about telling this story because there's two guys in this story that hate being spoken about. One, I actually seen in a restaurant in Franklin Square the other day, King Umberto's. And the other, who Skinny Dom, his nickname behind his back was called the Grouch, Oscar the Grouch. He was never in a good mood. The guy was never in a good mood. Only guy I ever hear to yell at my captain. Well, he wasn't my captain, the captain that I was around. Yeah, they call him the Grouch, for Oscar the Grouch from Sesame Street. I never really watched Sesame Street, but I knew Oscar the Grouch. And that was his nickname. He didn't like anybody. You could be sitting in the club playing cards, he wouldn't even say hello to you. He was a powerful cat. His mentors were two Stone Cold Killers, one and two for Albert Anastasia. I mean, come on. You know, Tony Lee and Fat Andy. I mean, Tony Lee turned down a captain position to run a crew under John Gotti. I told him, I don't want, because he had his own health issues and other issues. Who says no to John Gotti? You know what I mean? These guys were powerful guys. And that was, he was their guy. There was nobody else. It was him. And of course, another name I don't want to mention, Nicky Carrazzo, who was a Fat Andy. His mentor was Fat Andy, because everybody says that John Gotti Sr. was my mentor's mentor, but he wasn't. Nicky Carrazzo was Ronnie One Arm's mentor, and Fat Andy was also Ronnie's, but he wasn't around Fat Andy as much as little Nicky Carrazzo was. We call him Little Nick. He's no little. The guy was a beast in the streets with his hands when he was younger. They used to fight against the Fulton and Rockaway Avenue boys, the Eastern Parkway guys. That was him, his brothers, Ronnie One Arm, again, and Jimmy Boy. You know, a lot of good names, a lot of good guys in that life that I don't like to mention that are still around, that have a brother who passed away, God rest his soul, who I had the chance to meet and being around. I actually broke bread with in Comp's place one time. Actually, and then I think the last time I seen him was on Valentine's Day at the restaurant. But God rest his soul, sleep in peace, he passed away. And a lot of these guys, they came up under Fat Andy. Nicky Carrazzo, my mentor, Ronnie One Arm. So Skinny Dom was like their main guy. He took their club over on Liberty Avenue. He was a serious guy, very serious guy. And he said, that thing, you hang it up at the door. Meaning back then, if you put your hands on a, it's still, that rule existed. If you put your hands on a maid guy, you got clipped. Bottom line. And if you were a maid guy and you put your hands on a maid guy without a good enough reason, you could get clipped. You could get shelved. There's a lot of things that can happen. Even though you're a maid, you can't put your hand on a friend. Those are the rules. Those rules still existed. But in jail, the rules change. May guy puts his hands on you, you could put your hands back on him. You get into a beef with a May guy and you make the first move. Now, if that May guy wants to kill you when he comes home or he wants to kill you in prison, that's a different story. But the family won't. In jail, they say green light it. Cosa Nostra, we don't talk like that. But you sign, you sign your own death certificate, right? But that's not a saying either, okay? It's... You're just signing your own debt, not debt certificate, okay? Some people say that. I don't know why. It's not a saying. You signed your own debt certificate. There's not. But you hit a maid guy, it's over. You signed your life away. But in jail, those rules don't exist. You get a button, you hang it up at the door. Those are the rules. This was the first time I did hear that. I didn't hear it again until I was back in federal prison. Not that I was reminded of it. But I had a beef with a maid guy, captain, and I was told, the rule, you hang up at the door, do what you got to do. I knew the rule. I didn't have to be reminded, but that's when it was brought up again. Today, from the sources and the people that I speak to in the streets still, there's no kill order anyway. It's gone. You can put your hands on a maid guy. I don't think it's smart. I'm pretty sure he'll take care of you. But the family doesn't pull out. There's a no kill order right now in Cosa Nostra. It's bad for business, and the feds want to put you underneath the fucking jail. So why even do it? So, 1992, right? Hoovers, husband and wife, drug addicts, robbing social clubs. There's a little money in social clubs, guys pocket money. I mean, it's not like today's day and age, like when they robbed my friend Alphonse and... Another thing I got blamed for, but it was a kid from the neighborhood that actually set them up. They got away with a lot of money. That's when, Texas Hold'em was around. robbing and stealing, never even a pack of gum. It wasn't my thing. It's still not my thing. I can't stand people that sneak thief, that rob things. I never had to, even though we were poor. I just wasn't my thing. I sold drugs, I extorted, Shylock, Bookmake, things like that. Stealing, I never got involved in it. I didn't like it. I didn't have the stomach for it. Like, I just turned, it just wasn't my thing. And I didn't believe in it. If guys were doing it and they, you know, especially home invasion, I looked down on that stuff. I know people that were involved in it that did it. Just wasn't my thing. Didn't want nothing to do with that. Okay, if you told me, if there was 10 million in there, I'm not going to get it. I can make that selling cocaine. I don't need to make it by risking or having to use a gun or tying people up. It's not my thing. I never wanted to be involved in it. And no one ever involved me in it. You know, of course, I've been blamed for multiple things. To this day, people still blame me for things that went on like that. And it's funny because those people know it was never my character. So, they're robbing social clubs, right? They robbed Vinny Asara twice. Now, Vinny Asara was a high-ranking, powerful captain in the Bonanno family and probably the most powerful in Queens at the time. They not only robbed him once, but they robbed him twice going into his house. Not so. They knew who he was. They knew where he lived. I think he lived in Tudor Village at the time. They were from Tudor Village. I don't know if they were from Tudor Village, but that's where they were living. That's where they were staying, maybe a stash house or whatever. So now, Vin is good friends with the boss of the family at the time, Joe Messina, lives on 84th Street in Howard Beach. Automatically kill order out for these two people. They don't know at the time if it's a husband and wife. But at this point, they got a reputation for robbing clubs. But what they're doing is they're robbing Fat Andy and Tony Lee's club, who's Skinny Dom's in charge at the time. Bad mistake. Skinny Dom's hit is Ronnie One-Arm. Then they got another tough guy, Johnny Beano. Legitimate tough guy. I don't even want to say his name. Legitimate tough guy. Probably a captain now. Took him a while to get made, even though he did the piece of work in 92. But, you know, guys can say what they want about him. You know, he still, you know, be on JoJo's boat, this, that. Johnny Beano, legitimate tough guy, legitimate gangster, gangster's gangster. So to knock guys out. I'll have a story about him and John Jr. when John Jr. was younger. He hated the kids from Ozone Park. He probably still hates the kids from Ozone Park. Those, the old school beach at Ozone Park and Howard Beach, I always tell you, it got squashed when I was about 17, 18, when me and an older guy from 88 Park went in and spoke with Peter, little Peter, and we finally squashed the Howard Beach and Ozone Park beef that had been going on for 50 years, maybe longer. And back then, Junior hated Ozone Park kids, hated them. So something happened in Ozone Park with him and Johnny Beano, and I'm going to give you that story. I really don't like talking about Johnny Beano. I see him around, and he didn't like me when I was in the streets. He was at my wedding and my engagement party. He didn't like me, and that wasn't because of me. It was because of the woman I married at the time. I was known as a drug dealer. He used to crack drug dealers around, guys that were around the streets, guys that hung out on corners. You know when I hear all these guys that hung out on corners, like the Brooklyn stories and stuff? These are the guys that if they caught you hanging on the corner, they gave you a fucking beating. You couldn't hang out in front of stores. You couldn't hang out in front of the pizzeria. You got to get your slice of pizza, your pack of cigarettes, your beer. You had to go. It was never hanging out in the corner. But these guys would come and give you a fucking beating. They didn't want nobody in front of the stores because they didn't want the old ladies being scared to shop. And they didn't want the store owners being scared they were going to get robbed because they got extorted. So it was a big thing in Ozone Park. There was no hanging out in the corners. Even though we did, you know, I took it a block over to the borderline, because I lived on 76th Street, which was a block over. We took it a block into Brooklyn, where Ronnie would make his U-turn, tell us all to get off the fucking corner. He always had bad ass. He'd get a block down, we all go back on the corner. And at the time, we thought we treated him as a made guy, a boss, you know? It was a big deal. So, Johnny Beano was one of those guys. Don't like to talk about the guy. Serious dude. Real serious guy. Another guy, never smiled. Don't like anybody. So, now, the story goes, there's always a guy that used to carry a list. There was a story going back a while ago when they found money in the basement apartment of one of Junior's house, stash houses in Ozone Park with a list and $250,000, something like that, some kind of money. And they said the list was May guys, captains. There's always a list of who's made, who's not. Because back then, you need to know. you know, going back a little bit to what I was saying before, Hootie, you got to go meet this guy in the Bronx or Staten Island, so-and-so. And it was like, so like, if the guy says something wrong, he's going to punch me in the face, or I got to punch him in the face. You always say you got that thing. That's what they think. You got that thing? No, you're good. Or yeah, he's got that thing. So, you know, be careful. Meaning like, don't punch the guy in the face. You get clipped. Not by him, maybe, but by somebody else in the family. You can't hit the guy, regardless. So you're always like, oh, what do I see this guy about? What does he owe? It was always about somebody owing money for rent. Somebody's girlfriend got hit on. Somebody's girl works in a nightclub and she's a waitress. She wants to be left alone. Or she needs a job in the as a waitress in the restaurant, or her sister needs a job. It was always something like that, you know? Because the drug beefs or whatever, those are more serious, and I was going in heavy, so that was different. So it was always, he's got that thing, like that. It was like annoying. He's got that thing. Is that how it would be, you know? And they would say the same thing to me. Even though I was made, whatever they were made, they would say to me when I, you know, they knew I knew guys, we would go in, they would say, is he a friend of mine? Has he got that thing? You know, that's how it was always said. And that meant, is he straightened out? Has he got his bun? So, the story goes, one of the old timers was holding the list. Same list that I think it was Gotti's wedding, kids communion, whatever it was. I know it really wasn't a list, I think, of wise guys or anything like that. I think it really was a list of a party or something. What it could have been. You know, I didn't see the list. I really didn't know their story at the time. Like I said, I can only tell my stories. I really don't talk about other people. So, you know. So, it said one of the old timers had a list. They got the list. Now, they're saying the list falls into the wrong hands. There wasn't a list. You're robbing Fat Andy, Tony Lee, and Skinny Dom's club. That's a death sentence. And you're not going to rob it once. I think it was like three times. I know it was twice they did it that I know of, because that I remember clearly the whole, you know, how the whole thing was. But the story I found out, you know, years later, not even a couple of years, actually. So they robbed another club. Now the Bananos sent two guys. They're looking for them. Because Vinny goes to Joe Messina. Joe Messina's the boss, like I said, in my neighborhood. Either an underboss, acting boss, street boss, or boss lived in Howard Beach or Ozone Park. Bottom line, they didn't live in Brooklyn. They lived in Ozone Park or Howard Beach. I can tell you, all five families, underboss, street boss, acting boss, or boss, lived there, where they lived. Joe Messina at the time lived on 84th Street. We know, God, he lived around the corner. So, this is our neighborhood. They don't realize that it's two junkies or whatever, you know, they were high on drugs that are robbing. They're taking, now it's becoming a mockery. They rob another club. They rob a club in Maspeth. I think it was a Banana club. They rob another club. They rob another club in the neighborhood. And I think they robbed it for the third time, but they almost got them on that. Now it's out. The Gambinos want them. They get the order. They got to go. They pistol whip somebody. They putting guns in people's faces. It's social club. There's a rule. When I hear these guys talking about what made guys driving in cars with pistols or walking into a club with a pistol or going into a made guy's bar with a pistol, first of all, you go into a club with a pistol, you get clipped. There was rules. One, first of all, drugs had nothing to do with social clubs. So that should even be close. You never bring heat. Heat is a pistola, the ratchet, into a social club. Never. You get clipped over that. Never. You're never supposed to bring a weapon to a sit-down. I mean, as many times as there's been weapons outside of a sit-down held by people. You know, I was outside. I let them sit down, so I can tell you. But sit-downs, social clubs, no. No. I can't explain to you how bad it is to carry a pistola in a club. Nobody carries guns. So there was no need for how these people were acting. And this club was known as an old-timers club. So I got a lot of stories out of this club. A lot of these guys today would be 115, 120, 99 years old. These were old-timers playing Pinochle, playing Hearts, Scala, you know, things like that. No big money games. They kept the club open out of respect for Tony Lee and Fat Andy. That was their original club coming out of East New York, Brooklyn. But it was an old-timers club. I mean, a really old school. I mean, I could tell stories from these guys that were telling stories in this club that go back to Mad Hatter days, like years and years. So what they were doing, one was a mockery to all Cosa Nostra, because I actually think one of the clubs was a Genovese club. I got all the information, and I'm giving you nothing scripted, so it's coming off the top of my head. But it was definitely two Bananos, three times in the Gambinos, another Gambino, and then Vinny Asara twice. Now, Vinny Asara was friends with Skinny Dom and Ronnie, one of them at the time. They all worked in the same area, you know, and probably childhood, whatever, you know, going back. You know, Vinny is 1933, 34. He was actually older than all of them. He's Fat Andy's age, like I said, a year difference. So, and he was a lunatic. Like I said, Jimmy Burke was his good friend, and Jimmy Burke feared him, not feared him, but respected his killing game as much as he respected Jimmy's killing game. So, was he part of the Lufthansa? Probably not, but he got a piece of it. I don't think he was there. He was too high ranking at the time. You know, his age, he's actually older than Jimmy, so he was probably a captain at the time. The captains don't go along on scores. I think the only guy that was a main guy that used to go along on scores was Ronnie Gialenzo. Used to put his own work in, and that's for real. So with that, it goes out. So he grabs, who does he grab? His soldier, Ronnie One Arm. Who does he grab? The next tough guy in that club, Johnny Bino. Johnny Bino in the back, Ronnie driving, Skinny Dom in the passenger seat. Now, Ronnie One Arm is an Ozone Park legend. He's a gangster killing motherfucker. He gets intel. People talk to him. He's in the streets. This is why I gravitated to him, and he gravitated to liking me. Liking me in the street sense, I'm pretty sure he probably didn't like me on a personal level, regardless how much I was around him. You don't. And probably people will probably talk shit today about it anyway. Whatever. But he was a street guy. His ear was to the streets. He was in the streets, the after hours, the bars, the clubs. And we were out the clubs. He was coming out with us. We were going to bars, which of course the strip club because they were his, but the regular bars, and he'd come out with us. You know, the bar in the corner that all the young kids hung out on, they would come out. Spanish, black, Asian. If they hung out there, they came in, they kissed them hello. No one's ever seen that before. He'd sit in the corner, set up, nice. It's all young kids, you know, at the time. It was in the 90s, early 2000s. So, very early 2000s. He went away right after that. So, got his two strongest guys on that side of Ozone Park. And Ronnie got the tip and knew where they were. Where would they be? They pull up. Christmas time, 1992. And this is the story. They were in the car. Didn't even have to sit on them. They were right there, exactly where Ronnie got the info from. Rolled down the windows. And the three different shooters, three different calibers. I think two different calibers, but three different guns. Ronnie from the driver's side. Skinny Don from the passenger side. Johnny Bino from the back seat. Johnny Bino doesn't get made till years later. Putting it out there. Making it another enemy today. But he never liked me anyway. He was a bully anyway. He picked on anybody, so I wouldn't call him a bully. He cracked everybody. I can't count how many guys I've seen him crack growing up. But they put that work in. And Ronnie dropped the passenger. Somebody else, I think, hit the passenger. That was the wife. And Skinny Dom dropped the driver, who was the husband. He was the first one to get hit. They didn't get a chance to grab their guns. There was no list. It was straight disrespect. You want to rob Fat Andy and Tony Lee's club for the three times. You want to stick up a Banano captain twice at his house. At his house, his family, where he lives. These were the rules back then. This is 92. Okay? These people exist. Today the life might be dead, but the people aren't. And there was a trial about this. I wasn't involved at that time. Did I know the story? Absolutely, because my mentor was a shooter. Gangster killing motherfucker. Put her down. Put everything down. Neighbors didn't even call the cops in time. I think somebody eventually did. Winter of 92. The Uber couple. Bonnie and Clyde, they called them. Running around robbing social clubs. No money in social clubs. Pennies. Dollars. And the social clubs they're robbing, that they took advantage of, was Skinny Dom Social Club. And those were the oldest guys in the neighborhood that used to hang out there. Those are the guys. They hit a guy with a gun, pistols in their face. Could have walked in with number two pencils. These guys would have just gave the money up and they would have told you, you're doing the wrong thing here. Go rob a fucking bank. Go rob a grocery store. If the grocery store's protected, they're going to look for you. But they're not going to look for you like you robbed a Gambino social club. The order went out. We know Senior was boss at the time. Kill order. Bottom fucking line. They got to go. Nobody's getting baseball batted. These are the rules. And they still existed in 92. They still existed. Even though he was away. And Junior was the boss. The rules existed. Now, I'm not saying Junior knew about it or anything like that. That whole situation, I don't know. I just know that the rules apply. That means nothing goes down unless the boss okays it. He was the boss. He had to okay it. And like everything, how I explain stories, they don't want to know who, when, how. Well, who, of course, when, how, good reason, and who, and however you do it, and whoever does it, the boss never knows. So it can never go that way. Oh, Skinny Don, Ronnie One Arm, and Johnny Bino, three gangster motherfuckers. Real deal Gambino guys. Real deal Gambino guys right now. You know, Ronnie's finishing out a life sentence. Skinny Don should be coming home. Johnny Bino's on the streets. I don't know if what he does. I always know him to be a legitimate guy. I don't know the rackets he was ever in. Couldn't tell you. They'll never want to be around the guy, you know. And Skinny Dom, he played by the rules. I watched him tell a banana guy, "Maid, you can't fucking talk to me. Go get your fucking captain, and then I'll talk to him." And you know what this maid guy said? Banana guy? Fucking Jack said? Jack, legit? He says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a legitimate guy. I go to work every day." And got in his car and left. A maid guy. I watched a May guy cowardly deny his position in the Bonanno family. This guy's a captain right now. I know he was acting, and someone said he's a full-fledged captain. I haven't spoke to my friend in the Bonanno family recently, so I don't know, but I know he was an acting captain. I like the guy. I knew the guy on a personal level. Guy helped me out many a times. Bookmaking, auto business. Fucking dynamite guy. And when I seen that, I was young. I actually became friendlier with this guy, with this man later on. He actually did a couple of bids. I didn't think he was a bid guy. And because he's a bookmaker and he made a ton of money legitimately. So I don't even know why guys like that get involved. They already got money and usually get involved because you need that. If you're going to need it, he didn't even use it. I get abused. The guy told him, "You can't talk to me." Now, I've sitting down with captains and spoken to them because they wanted to speak to me. I would never walk up to a captain and try to talk to him unless I know I can talk to that captain. One, I'm not a big guy on getting disrespected or abused. And two, it's not the rules. It's just, you know, so you try to lay back on some. And there was a beef, and he didn't even want to be involved in the beef. If it was 50, 60,000... Jack would have let it go, let it right on the chin. He would have took it with Skinny Dom. He didn't play around. And he told him, "You can't talk to me. Go get your captain. He's got to talk to me." And he says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a regular guy. I get up and go to work every day." Got in his car and left. And whatever that beef was over, in the wind. This is what kind of guy we're talking about in Skinny Dom. Serious guy. Was around him, was in his club, played cards, spoke to him, didn't ever got to break bread with him. He went away. He was going away at the time. And then I was too young at the time. I was more on 77th Street. But I'm sure I would have at one point. When Fat Andy died, one of Ronnie's parents had passed away. So both wakes were going on. There was a discrepancy about money. And the family and Skinny Dom were arguing about something. And it was very disrespectful to Fat Andy, what was going on at this moment. And it was money. It was money. You know what I mean? And his family wasn't being taken care of like they should have been. This is Fat Andy. I don't know if people can understand the magnitude of that. You know, yeah, I hear May guys talking. They don't even understand the magnitude of that in any crime family. Because I've seen this man get respect from all five families. All five. I seen this. I went myself to a gambling den in Chinatown. I thought I was walking into an Italian joint and it was Asians. Okay? They weren't even triads. It was some, it was, they're called something else. I know the name. I just, like I said, it's off the top of my head. And they paid. The only man I ever seen that extorted the Asians that got paid was Fat Andy. The only man that I seen, a high-ranking captain in the Genovese, tell me that's a man's man right there when I walked out of a bar with him after him talking and greeting his old friend. A Lucchese, consigliere, respected him and looked like he was looking up to him. This is the kind of man we're talking about. And his family was being disrespected with money by Skinny Dom. And Ronnie Wanna walked out of one of his parents' funeral. I was there for both, out of respect for Fat Andy. But I was there with, you know, my crew for Ronnie, and there for Ronnie. I was by his side, and he walked out, gangsters, man's man, and said, whatever it is, whatever it costs, whatever you need, come to me, I'll pay the whole fucking thing. And this is his captain that he's going over. He's actually abusing his captain. And at this point, I don't know if he was going away, so Ronnie was getting the acting position, or was acting already and wasn't around him. Whatever it was, Skinny Dom wasn't a guy you abuse. And I've seen Ronnie take a few licks from him word-wise, let it go. It was his captain. That was a couple of years before. But this night, this guy walked over and said, you know, a lot of rules don't get obeyed, and Ronnie didn't obey a lot of them, but he knew them. He knew the life better than anybody. He mentored me in it, told me the right and wrongs, even though he didn't live by them, but, you know, and said, whatever it is, whatever it costs, this is stops now. I'll pay for it. What do you need? How much you need? Just tell me. I got it right now, or I'll go get it. Like, just totally told him, that's it. It's over. And I'm going to be honest with you. One of Fat Andy's kids, who wasn't straightened out, but was a legitimate tough guy, went to crack Skinny Dom. I don't know if a kill order would have been out if he went to hit him, because he would have knocked him clear the fuck out. He was 20 years younger than him. Well, not 20 years, but he was younger than him, and he was a legitimate tough guy with his hands. And someone got in the way, or he moved. Oh, I mean, I was just happy it didn't happen, but he didn't care. He was a legitimate tough guy himself. Fat Andy's son, Albert. And they both were, Anthony and Albert. Legitimate gangsters, legitimate tough guys. I put them in definitely that category. And Ronnie walked out. And usually, I mean, guys would go crazy. But Albert had that kind of respect. Fat Andy had that kind of respect. And Ronnie just abused a captain in his own family. Whatever you're arguing about, whatever it costs, whatever you need, I'll pay it. I got it. This is like, meaning like, this is over, back inside. Let's pay our respects to this legend, to this, you know, man of men, gangster of all gangsters, and not get the fuck off. And whatever it is, I'll go in my pocket and pay for it right now. 15, 20, 30,000, whatever it would have been. He would have had no problem. And, you know, I gave you a little bit extra there, but that was the Bonnie and Clyde story. There was two bananas driving around looking for the Ubers as well. And they didn't have the intel like Ronnie had. And you know what? That was principle. They were going to get them. The Gambinos were going to get them. And Skinny Don was going to make sure of that. And who was he going to take with him? Fucking gangster, Ronnie One Arm. And they put that fucking work in. They put that work in for real. You rob our social clubs, this is what happens here. It doesn't make a difference who the fuck you are. You want to pistol whip Olga in? They sent the message to everybody. And none to do with a list. Watch these fucking movies. Listen to this. I'm telling you. They sent a message that night. Winter, Christmas of 92. You rob a Gambino social club. You end up dead. That work was put in by three fucking gangsters. And these stories, my friend, are Ozone Park Chronicles, are true and honest. And I'm telling you, the life may be dead, but the people aren't. And this isn't nothing to look up to, but this was Cosa Nostra. And, you know, you hear stories about people putting drugs in their neighborhood. No. They may be extorted drug dealers that sold drugs in certain parts of neighborhoods where people went to get drugs. But they didn't. You may hear stories that innocents got hurt. No. Guys got hurt that deserve to get hurt. Guys got clipped that deserve to get clipped. That's the way the rules walk. Civilians, I told you all the time, they expect you to call 911. I'm expecting it now as we speak because people want to put out rumors and talk shit, but you say something back and they threaten you with 911. I don't know why. That's different. They love it when people change their lives. 911 becomes their best friend. Women love 911. That's all they want to threaten you with. Just got done telling you they love you, they want to be with you, and they want to call 911 for everything. I already got two infos that they've been called to put on notice in Queens. So this is what happens. And that was the life, man. And that was the Bonnie and Clyde. If they would have did the story right, if they would have sat in on that trial and they would have got those minutes, they could have made such a better movie. Oh, there is these two motherfuckers were some wild ass, gun toting, stick up motherfuckers. This fucking woman had more balls than most guys in the neighborhood. They weren't originally from Ozone Park or Howard Beach, not both of them. But she fucking pistol whipped an old guy. She had the pistol ready to shoot somebody over a couple $100. They were gonna shoot Uncle Vin. Well, they called him Uncle Vin. The second time, I think. Because he thought Vin was straight up. I'm going to get you. I'm going to get Vin. Don't give a fuck how many guns he had pointing in his face. He don't. That's one motherfucker that was for real. You know? And three gangster killing motherfuckers showed up on their fucking front bumper. Put them to sleep. Good night. No questions asked. No what'd you do? Why'd you do it? Where's the list? You rob a Gambino social club? Consequences, death. Live fast, die fast. And I hope you enjoyed the story, guys. And I appreciate all the subscribers. You just know me. I get on here with the conceited and the bullshit. But you just know the stories. I give them to you. It's great content. Now you will be getting them all the time. The shit that I was doing with these other clowns, I was letting them do interviews. The people that we were interviewing were great people, but I would never give them the gold. You're getting the gold now. They had a renowned writer, fourth most expert. I respect what the guy says. I respect what he talks about. I respect what he writes. He got 100 views. These are the guys that people want to listen to. He got 100 views. He had an author on, and he got 100 views. He had to go back. He made the name under the West Coast connection, but it's the Hootie and JC show. When you Google it, that comes up because he won't change it. He went on himself, got three subscribers in a month. He couldn't do it. I think it was a week, and he had to run back and use my account. But account that I robbed. How can I rob it? You put my account back. You're putting my videos up, which you're going to pay for. I promise you, you keep putting videos up of me on there, you're going to pay for it. You're going to have to pay to use me. You want to use me, you want to use pictures of me, and you want to put my mouth and say what I'm thinking while somebody's telling the story because I won't interrupt them, and you want to put the camera on me? When you did all the shit talking, you wanted to be the only gangster from Detroit? Yeah, tell your friend the truth, because I knew nothing about the guy, and I still don't. The only reason why I talked, because he came at me, I came at him. I really didn't have beef with the guy. But it was because of you. You talked about him, not me. This is what you do. Shut the channel down and open up your West Coast connection. Who ever heard a judge saying, go to college? You know, you tell a high school kid, go back to school or go to jail. It's bullshit. And now, all the guys he interviewed, all these guys he looked up to were cooperators, the rats, and now he's talking out against rats. You just go on his show, you just answer his questions, you subscribe to him, you just roll idiots. Because now he's abusing guys that are rats and informants. Talk a bit about all of them. Guy doesn't even know what I've done in my past. He's saying, oh, who didn't do this, who didn't do that. He's listening to an ex who's scorned. Scorned not by me. She left me. I was brokenhearted. I was hurt. She can't be scorned by me. She's scorned 4 years later because I want nothing to do with her now. And she wants to be in the limelight like everybody else. I'm not in the limelight. This is YouTube. There's no money in this. This is free. I'm in the hole for $900 in merch because this is the last two shirts of the new Hootie Social Club that I had a collab that no longer exists. But the other boxes are Stax and JC, two cowards. Cowards. They would fall, you know that thing they used to play with, that they fall down, it said they'd fall down if I ever hit one of them. Cajun. JC, you'll get it any day of the week. Whenever I run into you, whenever I see you, you get punched in the face. I don't need to accept an undercard match or anything like that. You're getting punched in the face no matter what. That bottom fucking line, you're a coward. Coward. It's like Stacks a fucking coward. And this other idiot now wants to get involved in the fat donut shop eating. It amazes me, these guys. I got $900 in merch. My pocket. I'm gonna hire lawyers and this and all this other stuff to open up charities overseas in Europe. I wouldn't even get on a plane to go that far. I'm gonna do it when my book comes out for all my UK supporters because they deserve it. Those people out there support me like a motherfucker. Never turn their backs on me. Supported from day one. Then listen to all these fake fucking stories about me. This is me. This is who I am. 900 in merch sitting there with their names on it. I'm in the hole. We have a couple bucks that they got for their subscribers. Shut it down. Shut it down. 1,400 subscribers you got with me. 2,000 subscribers you got with me. Shut it down. Close the account. Reopen it. And tell your stories. What stories? You can't even ask the proper questions to get the proper answers out of people. Story I just gave you is gold. Never been said before. My story. That was my story was told to me for me to tell. You just don't have that. You're just jealous of everybody else. Well, the one guy knows nothing about the street. Told multiple times because he was withdrawing in Connecticut. The other kid, which you can't, there's no paperwork when you agree to tell the judge who you buy your nickel bags from. Because that's all he's ever did. Nobody can fact check anything because he said, this is the guy I buy from. He's on this corner. I'll do a direct sale for you. You can pinch him. I'll go back to school and I'll get a degree. He didn't even get a fucking degree. He's a munchkin on his face. He's a fucking coward. He's got to stop listening to these guys. I mean, you can do whatever you want. He doesn't got to listen. I don't tell nobody what to do. I don't watch these other shows. He hated Francis, Gunna, the John and Gene show. All these people that talk to him. The NBA, Tom Lavecchi, jealous of. Every day he talked about these people. I never watched anything. All he cried about was them stealing his ideas. Stealing my ideas on his show. But everybody needs a spider. I don't edit. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't put anything on. Sammy stole the wedding scene. Michael Francis stole Sit Down. Gunna stole his limelight because he wants to be a Detroit gangster and he's never been to Detroit. That's the craziest shit I ever heard. He was a Detroit spider. They would tell him, hey, go get us a nickel bag. Regular guys in a gambling hall. Oh, get us a pound. He couldn't even get them a pound. Never in Detroit. Gunna was from Detroit. His family was from Detroit. And he wants to take that spot and he chose my name. in there. And says, I said this, I'll say nothing about nobody until they say something about me. And you know what I usually do? Like I should do, I wait till I see you and I handle it myself. And that's what I'll do now. Wait till I see you and I'll handle it myself. Life's over, that's fine. But the dweebs and the munchkins on the face, they're punched in the face. Nobody can help them. What are you gonna do? Put a federal case on me? Don't worry, my ex is doing that now. I'm trying to figure out a way. Cowards. Cowards. Keep using my name. Keep putting videos up of me. It's only going to cost you. It's only going to cost you. And you live with your mom. You got plenty of time to troll the internet. You tell people, you know, there was four people in that meeting when you say all you do is sit around and watch these videos. All I do is I watch these videos for us, Hootie. They're stealing everything from us. I says, don't worry about it. I got more. Like the thing, the button being hung up, being dead when you go to jail, the rules. I could give you more every day. I didn't because I didn't want to give it to them guys. He wasn't even my Ed McMahon because he was an idiot. He always jumped in and made a story about him, and he's never done anything. Never done nothing. He's giving you lies from a tennis court, from a shirt that he's got from 30 years ago with his gas station sunglasses. Come on. Come on. Come on, Stacks is making videos wearing Versace glasses that I gave him. Are you kidding me? Talking about he burned everything. Wearing what I... Look at what he's wearing. I gave this kid him nothing. You kidding me? He's getting people to live with their mother. They'd be on a park bench. They, you know what they're away from? They're a bad week from a park bench. That's what they're away. They're a park bench. They're 1 week away from a park bench. That's what they're... And they want to talk about families. Don't let me get into your court cases or any of you guys with your families and your kids. I don't like to go there, but I will. I will. And remember, you mentioned that you're teaming up with my ex. You mentioned her name. You came first. What'd he say, John Rambo? He drew first blood. You drew first blood. And you can't outlast Hootie. Nobody can. With that, you guys have a great night. My supporters, you know I love you. I sent all the merch out for free out of my own pocket, getting up every day and going to work. You guys know who you are. If I missed you, the next round of merch that comes, whatever collab I do, you'll get it. Hats will be going out. I have a lot of hats left over to you guys. I'm trying to get to all of you. Believe me, I go one-on-one with all my supporters that truly support the Hootie platform. And the Hootie and Bell Show, it's coming up. We're in talks now, so be ready. It's going to be good. Two different personalities, two different outlooks, two different states, two different upbringings. It's going to be pretty good. The bantering already is crazy. It drives me nuts already. Yells at me for all these videos. Wants me to be nice to everybody. She's so nice. Lollipops and kissing babies. I can't do that shit.